In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began. Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, not denying the world, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming in it.
God was, God is, God will be. Friends, you may be seated. Each week during the summer, we will enter worship in a time of confession. We will enter in a time where God invites us to be just who we are, to lay our lives, the good, the beautiful, and the not so pretty, before God, and to lay down those burdens that God might take them from us. Here's how it's going to work for the next few weeks. We're going to sing our way into a time of confession. In your bulletin, you will see the sung invitation. It is a hymn I'm sure you know. It is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." As you sing those words, let those words really settle into your heart. And we will follow that sung invitation with a time of silent confession between you and your God. Let us sing. Sisters and brothers, I have some good news for you. It is the kind of good news that can't be taken sitting down, so I invite you to please rise to your feet as you are able. This news is that good. Here's what I have to share with you this morning. I have to share with you that which convinced our brother Paul, and that is this, that there is nothing in all of creation. There is no height or depth. There is no angel or demon. There is no ruler or principality. There is nothing you have done or nothing you could ever do that would be able to separate you from the love of God through Christ Jesus. The good news is this. We are a forgiven people. Lay those burdens down. Leave them behind and live a new life today. Let's sing that good news.
Hallelujah, send us a name. laid my burdens down.
I hope you do indeed feel better. I hope you feel so good you can't keep it to yourself. So here's what we're going to do now. We're going to take all the goodness and how much better we feel inside and share it with one another. We are going to share the peace of Christ with one another. So walk around this room, look each other in the eye, and share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Good morning. Peace be with you. Peace, Anne. Thank you. Peace of Christ be with you. Brent, and your name?
Dory and Richard.
Dory and Richard.
Thank you.
Well, what? Oh, from. Oh, nice. Oh.
I believe I'm forgiven. That was powerful.
Well, thank you.
I'm never sure.
Trust it. Trust it. Peace. When you have finished sharing that piece, I invite you to find a seat. So, friends, once again, good morning. I bid you welcome here to the First Congregational Church of the United Church of Christ in Stockbridge. I want you to know this on this morning, that whoever you are and wherever you are on life's journey, you are welcome here because this is a church of what we call extravagant welcome. There is something you need to know about that welcome if you are new. We don't welcome you here because we are nice. It's true. Even though I think if you spend enough time with us, you will come and discover that we are actually quite nice. No, we welcome you here because it is how we read the Bible. We welcome you here in that way because it is how we hear the Spirit calling us. We welcome you here because we firmly believe this in the depth of our heart, that you are a beloved child of God, made in God's image, not for anything you have done or ever will do, but simply because you are God's beloved creation. So know that you are welcome here. We welcome you to journey with us, to teach us, to learn from us, and to be part of this family. For together we are the body of Christ, and we wouldn't have it any other way. I do see some new faces out there this morning, and so if you are new and if I don't know your name, I would invite you to please fill out one of these pew cards. You will find them in every single pew, I think. And I invite you to fill it out. Give me as much information as you can. If you give me a way to get a hold of you, I promise that I will. And then just feel free to drop it in the offering plate as it comes by. Let me check this morning and see, do we have anybody who needs to make an announcement on behalf of the life of this church? All right. Then it seems like it is time for us to keep right on worshiping. One of the most important things we will do on any morning is to pray together. We pray together to connect ourselves to one another and to lay ourselves before God. We pray together so that our joys and burdens might be held by each other. Here's how we're going to pray this morning. I will lead us into a time of prayer, an opening that invites the Spirit here, that invites us to be in prayer. Once I have done that, I will invite you to lift up your prayers, whether they are for joyful, happy things or whether they are for the kinds of things that make your heart break. I would ask you just simply to name them out loud. After one person lifts up a prayer petition, I will say, God, in your mercy, and I'll invite you to say, hear our prayer. Let's try that. God, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Excellent. Let us enter into a time of prayer. You will find a little bit of an intro here in your bulletin. God be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we come before you this morning just as we are. We come before you this morning thankful. Thank you, thankful for a stunning weekend where we may celebrate the concepts of justice and peace and of a nation conceived in liberty. We give you thanks that summer has arrived in the Berkshires in all of its splendor with Tanglewood, with restaurants, with time to be together and go on great hikes. God, I give you thanks that we have come together here today. God, on this day, we come before you as your children. We come before you with joys and burdens that we carry. And so now, we pause to name them before you and before one another. Hear now our prayers spoken out loud. God, in your mercy. 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 God, we do indeed give you thanks for family and friends. We give you thanks for love given and received. We give you thanks that we are called to be one body. God, for these prayers and for all the prayers that remain on the tips of our tongues or the depths of our heart, we lift them trusting in your grace and mercy. We lift them to you through our brother, our teacher, our mentor, our Savior, the one we know as Jesus. And let us all say, Amen.
Our reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 11th chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, I ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us. He said to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. May God add his blessing of hearing and understanding to these words.
Friends, will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Did you hear what Stu read? He said, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. I got to be honest, as a preacher out here in the Berkshires on a 4th of July weekend, where Tanglewood is absolutely busting at the seams, when golf courses are jam-packed and the first tee is backed up as far as you can see, where you could not get into a restaurant if you tried, and churches, even though I got to tell you, this room looks great this morning, we still have some room to spare. A preacher in the Berkshires can look at that line, the harvest is plenty and the workers are few, and can become obsessed with the lack of workers. A preacher can pick up the latest copy of the Berkshire magazine, as I did this past week, and read the article in it about how sanctuary after sanctuary after sanctuary here in our county are ceasing to be houses of worship, and instead are being reborn as private homes, as centers like the Guthrie Center, as recording studios, as art galleries, and on and on. A preacher in the Berkshires can look at that line, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few, and be tempted to be consumed with the lack of workers. But not this preacher. And not on this beautiful 4th of July weekend. Because to focus on the few workers would be to miss what Jesus is focused on in the passage that Stu just read. Jesus is not focused on scarcity in that passage. Jesus is focused on abundance. He is not concerned about the lack of workers, even though his disciples only number 12 and his followers number 70. No, Jesus is focused on abundance, the abundance of God's love, the fact that the kingdom of God has drawn near. He knows that he only needs a few people to get this whole thing started. Jesus sees abundance where others far too often see scarcity. Now, many of you may know that I spent my last week in even hotter California. I was there for the national gathering of our church, and coming back, I got to tell you, I can't help but focus on abundance too. I want you to imagine for just a moment walking into a convention hall in Long Beach, California. Now, this convention hall was so big that a football field would easily fit in it either direction. This hall was adorned with huge screens and large stages, with microphones and cameras. Every morning when we came into that hall, there was music filling the air. It was a hall brimming with people of faith of every color, every political stripe, every ability, every orientation, and every age. A place where you could feel the Spirit, where you could soak in abundance. It was in that hall that I met Rafe, an 11-year-old boy. Now, one day, he pulled me aside and he talked to me nonstop for 20 minutes. He talked about how he thinks that God thinks that we need to focus more on our calling to care for this great creation that God made. This 11-year-old, in that 20 minutes, he quoted Bill Gates, he quoted Bill McKibben, He quoted the Dalai Lama, and he even quoted our own conference minister, Jim Antall. He waxed poetically about why it all matters. And just as importantly, that 11-year-old boy talked about how our faith fits into all of it. And then, at the end of his 20 minutes, he looked up at me with an honest expression as only an 11-year-old can. There was a grimace there. I think there was a bit of concern and a whole lot of doubt written over his face, and he asked me, "Now, you get it, right?" And after he gave me 2 seconds to stammer out a yes, a big smile came across his face, and he said, "Isn't God great?" And I couldn't help but smile too. No, with 11-year-olds like Rafe out there, I'm going to focus on abundance. And then on another day, I had a chance to speak with Nichelle. Now, Nichelle was a classmate of mine in seminary who is now serving at Trinity United Church of Christ, a church of some 6,000 members on the south side of Chicago. Now, Nichelle is about 5'1". That's if you count the 4-inch platform heels she always wears. She is thin as a rail. She is a gifted African-American preacher and teacher. She was invited to preach at one of our worship services for the entire convention down there in Long Beach, and preach she did. 40 minutes of preaching, and I don't think she took a single breath. Go ahead and look it up on the web, and you can watch it, and you will see. Nichelle talked about the tough reality of our world and her world. We're on the south side of Chicago. Gun violence is absolutely rampant. She talked about how no one in that city or in this country seems to care about all those gun deaths because, as she said, of who is killed. Predominantly poor, young, black men. She talked about how the Spirit has called her church into the middle of that fight to take on that violence and to make sure that we do care. She called how her church is out there spreading God's love, caring for everyone, letting people know that the kingdom of God has drawn near. She talked about the staggering odds that are before that church, how easy it would be to give in and to see scarcity. But then she talked about how she knows that they will prevail. That Satan is going to fall, as Stu said, out of the sky in a flash of lightning. Because she said the Spirit doesn't just call us out to do God's work. It covers us, she says. It nurtures us. It inspires us. It gives us what we need to get it done. Nichelle, I can tell you, would be focused on God's abundance. And Jesus here in Luke's gospel is saying the same thing. He says to us, focus on God's abundance. And there is so much abundance I need to tell you about from Synod. I want to tell you how we became the first national church body to make a prophetic and real stand calling for divestment in climate change. I want to tell you about this scarf and how we stood up and against bullying of especially LGBT youth. There were 8,000 of these scarves that were knitted and brought to Synod. They were knitted so that we could wear them wherever we went, so that we could give them out. And I gotta tell you, by the time we left Long Beach, waiters and waitresses, bus drivers, hotel workers, wherever you went in Long Beach, they were all wearing rainbow scarves in signs of solidarity. I will tell you about all the rest later because there is much to tell. By the time we got to closing worship on Tuesday, all of us as pastors were in agreement. We couldn't wait to get back to our churches and talk about the abundance that we found here in the Berkshires. Yes, on the 4th of July weekend and throughout the summer, it is time to focus on abundance, for the harvest, it is plentiful. The kingdom of God has drawn near. Now, while we here this morning may not number quite the crowd at Tanglewood, now, like then, God needs us to go out into the world and prepare the way of Jesus, prepare the way of love and hope. There are a couple of things in this passage that Stu read that I think we ought to remember should we choose to go out there and engage the world. The first, never go alone. Never go alone. Jesus sent them out there in pairs, if you want. And there isn't a great deal of theology about why they went out in pairs. But first, I think it's simply better to be with someone. Amen? But just as importantly, I think that other person on our journey helps to keep us grounded, helps to keep us centered, helps to keep us who we are, keep us honest and real. One of the favorite parts of every day for me at this conference was walking the 2 miles back and forth to the convention center. We always walked in pairs, one pastor with another pastor, sharing our thoughts, our reflections, and our dreams. Second, I hope you notice from what Stu read that you and I, we're already equipped to do the kind of work that Jesus wants us to do because the Spirit is going to guide us. Did you notice? Jesus didn't tell them what to take. Instead, he told them what not to take, right? He says, don't take any sandals. Don't take your purse with you. Don't take any baggage at all with you. And I think that even means the kind of baggage that we carry, the metaphorical baggage of doubt and guilt, anything that we carry. Jesus says, leave it behind. You see, then, like now, Jesus understood how those who follow him are not perfect. Friends, Jesus knows that we are all going to make mistakes. We all are going to commit sins. We all are going to fall short. But here in this passage, Jesus says, leave it behind. Don't take it with you. Let God's grace, let God's love, let the beauty of the one we follow shine through you and before you. As that 11-year-old Rafe said, isn't God great? Finally, notice that when you do go out there and greet someone, even the first thing that you're to do to that person is simply to share peace. Is simply to greet that person in peace, is to practice what we do every Sunday here in this church. Reach out your hand, open your heart, and share peace with a neighbor. And even if the person doesn't receive that greeting, even if that person looks you in the eye and says, Linda, I have no interest in you. Even if that person looks at you and says, Ann, gotta be honest, I don't care about your God. If they said, John, I could give care less about your church. Jesus says this, they should know that the kingdom of God has drawn near them anyway. That whether they know it or not, grace abounds. The workers sometimes feel few, but the harvest, it is always abundant. And folks, that's not just optimism. It's faith. Faith is not grounded in what we can do, even though I think we can do some good things. It is knowing exactly what God can do. And remembering that the Spirit doesn't just send us forth. It gives us, just like it gives Trinity UCC in Chicago, the ability and courage to succeed, and it is right in the text. Stu told you this morning that those 70 that Jesus sent out, they came back. They came back to him with joy, saying that they had exceeded beyond their wildest dreams. Hearts were changed, they said. Lives were opened, they said. People flocked in to hear more of what they wanted to say. The workers on that day, they became more and more. Jesus replied to them, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Here's what I think Jesus said in that statement. That Jesus saw loneliness fall away in the work of those disciples. Jesus saw addictions melt in front of all that work. Jesus saw relationships begin to bud and hope begin to blossom. Friends, on this 4th of July weekend, at the beginning of this summer, the harvest is abundant. And the workers, you and I, no matter what our number is, are called to go forth, for the harvest is nothing short of abundant. So friends, if you are ready to go forward with me, if you are ready to go forward in God's grace to do the work God calls us to do, if you are ready to go out there and share peace, if you believe in abundance, will you say amen?
Amen.
All right, and now let us rise to your feet as you're able, and we are going to sing God, We Thank You for Our People. It's on the bottom of the front side, and it will flip over to the back. Evan's going to play it through once.
Thank you for your people, roots dug deep within the soil.
Friends, you may be seated. I want to draw your attention to the first line of that last stanza. By your spirit of creation, keep us bold for risking still. That is what we do every time we take an offering, every time we open our wallets and purses, every time we open our lives, we take risks. We are bold. We take the risk that ministries can still make a difference in this world. We take the risk that God's love is still worth giving to. We take the risk that we as a people are here and have a calling to share. So friends, I invite you now to be bold, to take risks, to open your hearts, and yes, open your wallets. This morning's offering will be given and received.
Thank you.
holy and loving God, I ask you to bless these gifts. Bless them that they might go out from this place as beacons of your love, as sources of hope. God, bless all who have gathered here, that we too may be touched by your grace, and that we may go out as ambassadors of peace. We ask all this in the name of the Prince of Peace, and let the whole church say, Amen. Amen. Friends, you may be seated. Friends, it is time to gather around this table. It is a time to be nourished and fed. It is a time for us to become the one body and feast that we might be nourished. And every time we gather around this story, we tell around this table, we tell a story. And I'm going to ask the kids who are here present, if you are here, if you would want to come up with me so that you can help me tell the story, come on up here. It is good to see you. Go ahead and you can have a seat if you like. So let me ask you a question. How do you know stories? Do any of you know a story? Any at all? How did you come to learn the story? By reading a book. So reading a book is one way to learn it. How else might you learn a story? Sharing it. What do you mean by sharing it? How do you share a story? Right, so someone tells you a story and you listen to it. Any of your parents ever tell you a story that you listened to that maybe wasn't even in a book? Here's what you need to know about the story of this table. The story of this table actually came from two places. In one place, it comes from the Bible. It's in the Bible. It's in the Bible in a couple of places. It's in some of the Gospels, and it's in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. So one of the ways we know the story of communion and the story of the table is by reading it in the Bible. It's a good way to learn it. But most of the people back when the Bible was first written, most of the people didn't read at all. And so in the early church, the way this story was learned was it was told from somebody to somebody. The disciples who were at that table with Jesus, they told friends. Those friends told their brothers. Those brothers told their sisters. The sisters told their children. The children told their cousins. And the cousins told their grandchildren. Until all the way down the line, someone told that story, I bet, to almost every single person in this room. So the story we're about to hear about this table is a story that comes just like all stories do, either through reading it in a book or by hearing it told to one another. So thanks for coming on up. You can head back to your seats so that you can listen to this story. Friends, this story and this table is for all people. Because this story and this table do not belong to this church. They do not belong to any church. This is the story and table of Jesus. And so you are welcome at this table no matter who you are. Whether you have recently confessed or not, whether you are a saint, a sinner, or a little bit of both, whether you believe a whole lot or whether you have no idea what you believe, you are welcome at this table and to be part of this story. And the story goes like this. On that night so long ago, Jesus gathered his disciples. He gathered his closest friends. And on the night that he was going to give himself for them, he took bread. He lifted that bread up before them. He gave thanks for that bread. He thanked God for that bread. And then he broke that bread. And he gave it to them. And he said, take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this always in remembrance of me. And then after supper, he took the cup, fruit of the vine, and he lifted that before them. He gave thanks for it. He blessed it. And he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which has been poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Take this cup and drink from it, all of you. And do so always in remembrance of me. Before we can share this meal, before we can eat it together, we need to bless it. And I'm going to ask for your help. I'm going to ask you to take one hand or two hands, and I'm going to ask you to raise it and aim it out towards this table. Aim it at these elements. Let all the love that you have within you pour out and pour out on here and dribble over the tops of your neighbor's heads on the way here. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, send your Spirit down deeply into this bread. May it dive deep into this cup, that the food that we are about to eat, that the drink we are about to have, that all of us, all of it, makes us feel your presence, that through it we grow closer to you, and through it we go deeper in connection to one another. God, bless this food that it may nourish our bodies and enliven our souls. Amen. Friends, we remember the rest of this story. We remember how later in that night, Jesus would go out with his disciples, along with all who had gathered around them. And later that night, there was one at the table who was going to betray him. There was another at the table who was going to deny him, not once, but three times. And every single person around that table was going to fall asleep on him and then run away from him in the time of his greatest need. Jesus knew it. And yet, he shared this meal with them. Trust me, Jesus knows whoever you are and whatever's in your heart. And trust me, if Jesus would share that meal with them, he is going to share this meal with you. A couple things about how we're going to eat this. First of all, this is gluten-free and egg-free bread. This is unfermented grape juice, so that there might be no barrier between you and being able to eat this meal. We're going to do this in the ancient style of intinction. We're going to invite you to come forward down the center aisle, to take a piece of bread, to dip it in the cup, and then return by that side aisle back to your seat. We're not going to have ushers dismiss you. We're going to know that you're going to come forward whenever you are hungry. Now, if you cannot make it forward, please let us know, and Tom and Stu would be delighted to bring this feast right to your pew. So friends, come now, for all is ready. This is the cup of salvation. Dip the bread in there, and then go ahead and eat it. Stick it in there. There you go. Cup of salvation. Join the cup of salvation. Salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Dip deeply. There you go. Cup of salvation. Taste and see. There you go. And the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Is the cup of salvation. Be the cup of salvation. Salvation. Is the cup of salvation. Cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Dig deep. There you go. The cup of salvation. Oh, dip it deep. There you go. Cup of salvation. Carry the cup of salvation. Dunk it deep. There you go. Where are the
the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. Honey, the cup of salvation for you. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Salvation poured out for you. Cup of salvation poured out for you. Max, the cup of salvation. And this is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. Man, this is the cup of salvation. Cup of salvation. Plug the fan so people don't sleep trip. This is the cup of salvation. 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 Oh God, this is the cup of salvation. Cup of salvation. You have the cup of salvation poured out for you. Cup of salvation poured out for you. Salvation poured out for you. And the cup of salvation poured out for you. David, the cup of salvation poured out for you. The cup of salvation poured out for you. Salvation poured out for you. Kristen, the cup of salvation poured out for you. No, after worship, we'll do it. The cup of salvation poured out for you. Welcome home. Cup of salvation poured out for you. Wendy, the cup of salvation poured out for you. Cup of salvation poured out for you. This is the cup of salvation poured out for you. And this is the cup of salvation. It is poured out for you. And the bread of life as well. Bread of life and the cup of salvation. Mm-hmm.
One of the things my grandfather taught me is that it's always great to pray before a meal, and it's just as great to pray after a meal. So friends, let us lift our voices together in prayer, and I can think of no better prayer to pray after communion than the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray it in one voice. Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Here at this church, we have another tradition for praying on the first Sunday of the month. It is when we bring gifts for the food pantry, or we bring money for the food pantry. We bring whatever we have, and if you don't have anything, that's all good too. But we bring it, and we bring it up here as an active prayer of thanksgiving. Let us pray that way now. One of the reasons that we are using this yellow sheet in the summer rather than our hymnals is so that we can learn some new hymns and get better at them. There are some on here that should seem very familiar and some that might be a little bit newer. This one we're about to sing next might fall in the latter category, although I hope not. It is a song full of joy and energy. It is a song that you absolutely need to stand to sing. So rise to your feet. We're going to sing, Let Us Talents and Tongues Employ. It's got a little bit of a lively beat to it. Evan's going to play through it once so you can learn it, and then let's give it a shot. Tongues employ, reaching out with a shout of joy. Bread is broken, the wine is poured. Christ is spoken and seen and heard. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, love's about. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, love's about. Christ is able to make us one. At his table he sets the tone, teaching people to live, to bless, love in word and in deed express. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again. Pass the word around, love's abound.
Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again, pass the word around, loaves abound. Jesus calls us in, sends us out, bearing fruit in a world of doubt, teaching people to live, to bless God Emmanuel everywhere. Jesus lives again, earth can breathe again.
Well done. Well done. Friends, our time of worship here in this room is drawing to a close, that the worship of our God may begin anew beyond these doors. Before you go, a couple of invitations to put before you. First, I invite you to come through those doors right there, where food and cool drinks will be set out for you. It is a time of food and fellowship. Second, I invite you this coming Thursday to come to our second Faith on Tap at Michael's here in Stockbridge. We gather at 6 to order some food and some drink. The conversation begins at 6:30. This week, we're going to be grabbing a copy of the Berkshire Eagle and the New York Times, and we're going to be looking at the stories of our world through the lens of our faith. All are welcome. Please come and enjoy. And then, next Sunday, I don't want you to forget this. Next Sunday, make sure you are here again, because we will be feasting at this table again. We also will have the Strawberry Festival outside following worship. So make sure that you are here. Friends, as you head out on this day, may you love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God just enough that you truly need fear nothing at all. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds together as one until we meet again. And let the people say, Amen.